signify their presence. If all members voted, secretary closed roll.
The roll shows 19 senators present this morning. Senator Gilman is excused from the call of the Senate today.
May we stand for the invocation. Let us all pray. O Lord our God, we turn to you this morning to seek your favor, to ask your blessing for this Senate. We give you thanks for the individuals here, for the rich diversity of their backgrounds, for the variety of their talents, for the scope of their interests. O God, we pray for the men and women of this Senate. May they be able to employ their diverse talents to accomplish the tasks before them and for the good of the state. Give them your spirit of wisdom and of compassion. Bless those who are entrusted with the authority and the responsibilities of government. In the name of Christ, amen.
Certify as the correctness of the Daily Journal.
I wish to certify us to the correctness of the journal for the 71st legislative day.
Mr. President, move the journal for the 71st legislative day be approved as certified.
Without objection, so ordered. Are there guests for introduction this morning? Senator Rohde?
Mr. President, in the gallery behind me is a longtime friend, a distinguished member of the Alaska Bar, and a former judge of the District Court of Valdez, Jim Janai.
Senator Fahrenkamp?
Mr. President, in the gallery behind me is the son of a former member of this body, known as Sawbones to some. He's the director of our airport, Paul Hagelin.
We welcome you both here this morning. Are there messages from the governor?
There are no messages from the governor this morning, Mr.
There
President.
There is a message from the House.
Message of March 28, the House passed the following and transmitted for consideration. CS for House Concurrent Resolution Number 9, Finance Amended by the Finance Committee, calling for erection of a suitable memorial to honor veterans of all wars involved in the United States in the site presently occupied by Nimbus.
State Affairs Committee.
That is the only message.
Senator Ray.
That has judiciary complications because
state affairs and judiciary.
If I could explain that, Mr. President.
You have the floor, Senator.
It is under the control of the court system, and so rightfully any court matters would have to come to the judiciary.
Are there further messages from the House?
There are no other messages from the House.
Communications.
We have no communications this morning.
Reports of standing committees.
The Resources Committee considered Senate Bill Number 156 relating to the sale or lease of state hatchery facilities and recommends it be replaced with a committee substitute with a new title and a majority do pass. Signed, Senator Fahrenkamp, Chairman, concurring Senators Eliason, Mulcahy, and Ziegler. SB 156 has a further referral to finance. The Health, Education, and Social Services Committee considered Senate Bill Number 160 relating to the Board of Nursing and recommends due pass. Signed, Senator Josephson, Chairman, concurring Senators Moss, Paul Fisher, and Halford. SB 160 has no further referral.
Rules Committee.
The Rules Committee considered House Joint Resolution Number 25 requesting the Secretary of the United States Department of Transportation to revise the standard time zone in which Alaska is located and recommends that it be calendared with the State Affairs Senate Committee substitute. Signed, Senator Fakes, Chairman, concurring Senator Ray and Senator Ferguson. This resolution does appear on today's calendar. Those are the standing committee reports.
There's a report of the Special Committee.
March 28, 1983, from the Special Committee on the Anchorage-Fairbanks Intertie. Dear Senator Curtula, the Special Committee on the Anchorage-Fairbanks Intertie has recently reviewed the decision of the APA to award the bid on the Anchorage-Fairbanks Intertie contract. In making the award, the authority granted an Alaska bidder's preference to a joint venture one of whose members has not been doing business in the state for 6 months. AS 3705235, however, requires that a bidder who claims the 5% preference has been in business in Alaska for 6 months preceding the date of the bid. It is the theory of the power authority that a bidder's preference may be awarded to a joint venture even if one individual member of the venture would not qualify for the preference so long as another member of the joint venture is entitled to receive the preference. It is our belief that this interpretation is contrary to the clearly expressed intent of the legislature in AS 3705230 and would reduce the bidder's preference to a meaningless benefit. The purpose of our hearings was to determine whether it was necessary to introduce amendments to the law to clarify legislative intent. Prior to doing so, we retained the firm of Gross & Burke to review the status of the controversy and to advise us whether the interpretation placed on the law by the power authority was correct. If the interpretation of the authority was valid, we asked the firm to assist us in drafting legislation to make it crystal clear that an unqualified party could not obtain an Alaska bidder's preference simply through the means of linking itself with a party that was qualified. The firm has furnished us with the attached opinion. They are convinced, as is the committee, that the language and intent of the law is clear and that it requires no amendments at this time. We believe the court presently reviewing this case will hold that the APA violated the terms of Alaska Statute 3705230 when it awarded an Alaska bidder preference to a joint venture, one of whose members was clearly unqualified to receive it. If for any reason the court concludes that non-qualified bidders can achieve a bidder's preference simply by forming a joint venture with a qualified Alaska corporation, the committee will immediately submit amendments to the law to make it even clearer that such a practice is not in accord with the intent of the legislature. It appears at the present time, however, pending a court decision, that no such amendments are necessary and that the statute sufficiently expresses legislative intent. Sincerely, Dick Eliason, Chairman, the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee, Vic Fisher, Chairman, Senate State Affairs Committee, Betty Fahrenkamp, Chairman, Senate Resources Committee, with an attachment of March 28 from Avram Gross and Susan Burke on Alaska Bidder's Preference.
Senator Eliason,
Mr. Chairman. President, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that the letter be spread in the journal.
It'll be at ease.
Mr. President, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that the memorandum also be spread in the journal.
Yes, Senator Johnson.
I just rise to commend the special committee and the Senate President and Chair for the action of retaining the firm of Gross & Burke. I've got a copy of the opinion which the Senator referred to. It's an extremely strong opinion that says that the grant of an Alaska bid preference by the power authority to the joint venture of Irby North Face was contrary to the terms of the bidder's preference statute. It distinguishes one case which the power authority seemed to rely upon. In this situation, what had occurred was that the Department of Law gave advice to APA and then became counsel of record to APA in the suit that is pending in the Superior Court and could not, in the judgment of many senators, entertain our questions on the legal issues because it had an ethical obligation at that point to work on behalf of its client in the courtroom. But in the report by former Attorney General Gross, which I hope all senators will read, the former Attorney General says that the obvious intent of the statute for bidder's preference was to ensure that Alaska businesses, which have furnished employment to Alaskans, but whose cost of doing business here are much higher than elsewhere in the nation, will be able to compete fairly with outside firms who can frequently offer lower bids than Alaska firms. That purpose is only served by granting the preference to Alaska businesses which have been in past operation, which this joint venture has not been. I won't go through it more except to say that he analyzed the arguments of the APA from the standpoint of logic and fairness. He distinguishes the contention that a prior Superior Court case required the award to the apparently successful joint venture. He really, I think, tears apart the contention that there was past administrative practice that would require the award as made by joint venture by saying that the so-called administrative practice had only occurred, I think, once before, and that was 6 years ago under unknown circumstances, so that there was no settled administrative interpretation of the statute. As Senator Eliason says, the conclusion was that no change in the statute is necessary. I think it's a very strong opinion. I hope it will make a contribution in the by publication in the journal to the proceedings that are pending in Superior Court. Thank you.
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, I'd like to comment very briefly on the same topic. Senator Josephson has laid out the case very well. If the court does not rule in favor of the contestants to the award, I think we have a very serious problem, because the bidder's preference that we have on the books now is a very simple one. If you engage in business for 6 months and your business license is in the firm name, you are entitled to the Alaska bidder's preference. It's a very modest requirement. If the interpretation the Attorney General has put forth is upheld, will virtually do away with that very modest requirement and require that we again turn our attention to that topic. Thank you, Mr. President.
That's a good job, committee. There's no objection. It's placed in the journal. The bill's for first reading and reference.
Senate Bill number 214 by Senator Paul Fisher, an act relating to the plumbing code.
Commerce and Labor.
Senate Bill number 215 by Senators Ray and Curtula, an act authorizing the use of Alaska Permanent Fund income to pay longevity bonuses, amending the longevity bonus program and the Permanent Fund dividend distribution program, and providing for an effective date.
Special Committee on Alaska Residency and Finance.
Senate Bill number 216 by Senators Fahrenkamp and Bennett, an act relating to mining lease locations.
Resources Committee.
Senate Bill number 217 by Senator Moss, an act making a special appropriation to the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for the purchase of 3 hydrofoils for the Marine Highway System and providing for an effective date.
Transportation and Finance.
Those are the new bills today.
Takes us to the daily calendar. Secretary Reed, House Joint Resolution 25 by title.
House Joint Resolution number 25 by Representatives Adams, Ewling, and Schultz, requesting the Secretary of the United States Department of Transportation to revise the standard time zones in which Alaska is located. The State Affairs Committee considered this resolution and recommended that it be replaced with a Senate Committee substitute and do pass. Signed, Senator Vic Fisher, Chairman, concurring Senators Kelly, Sturgalewski, and Rohde. There is a Senate Committee substitute.
You have the floor, Mr. President,
I move and ask unanimous concern the State Affairs Committee substitute be adopted.
Without objection, unanimous concern has been shown. Unanimous consent. Without objection. Secretary, read the bill by title.
Senate Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution number 25, State Affairs, by the State Affairs Committee, requesting the Secretary of the United States Department of Transportation to revise the standard time zones in which Alaska is located. There is an amendment number 1 by Senator Vic Fisher. On page 2, lines 6 and 7, delete Secretary of the United States Department of Transportation, insert United States Government.
Senator Fisher.
Mr. President, I move the amendment.
Motion. Yes, consent has been asked. Amendments adopted. Further amendments?
There are no other amendments.
The absence, further amendments?
No other amendments, Mr. President. I move that. Unanimous consent that House or Senate Committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 25 as amended be advanced third reading, place and final passage.
Objection, so ordered. Secretary, read the bill.
Senate CS for House Joint Resolution number 25, State Affairs amended, requesting the Secretary of the United States Department of Transportation to revise the standard time zones in which Alaska is located.
The bill is before you for discussion and debate. Senator Pettyjohn, we'll be at ease. Senator Moss.
Mr. President, addressing the House Joint Resolution Committee Substitute Senate number 25 amended, I might say that this is crazy. Alaska covers as many time zones as the lower 48 does. Alaska is the northernmost state, which is obvious, and it's the westernmost state, which most people realize. Now, I'm not so sure everybody realizes it's also the easternmost state in the nation. You've got about 300-400 miles sticking out there and beyond the gerrymandered international date line, which keeps us all within the same day, which puts it in the Far East. As far as this amendment, to put the whole state into one time zone, it's crazy. I think perhaps we should really consider not just one time zone, but at least two. I'm in favor of perhaps even changing the time of some of the times that state people and people that are involved in governmental business go to work, for example, in each area of the state. Because basically that's what we're doing here, is trying to set up something where people can get in touch with their legislature and their state and possibly federal people. I think it's a bad move for us to go presently into a one time zone which covers thousands of miles. Thank you, sir.
Senator Vector Fisher, you have the floor, sir.
Mr. President, the House resolution that came over to the Senate would have divided Alaska into two time zones. It would have combined the three easterly time zones, the Pacific time zone, the Yukon time zone, and the Alaska time zone into one, and move those over to Yukon, which now includes only Yakutat, and move Bering time zone over to what is now Alaska time zone. That resolution was similar to one introduced by Senator Halford and co-sponsored by many of us in the Senate early in the session. State Affairs Committee, the question came up, so long as we're combining most of Alaska's population into one time zone, what about the western area being folded in as well? I checked with the senators representing western Alaska, and their feeling was that in view of the character of the daylight and darkness hours in Alaska, in western and northern Alaska in particular, that it probably wouldn't make too much difference, and the benefits of being on the same time zone would greatly outweigh the disadvantages. We had a very supportive testimony before the committee. Basically, the arguments given for were to facilitate communication between the people of Alaska and state government, facilitate in particular communication between southeastern and the rail belt area where more than three-fourths of Alaska's population is located. At the same time, the committee considered moving southeastern and Yukon time zone, which is Yakutat only, to Alaska Standard Time, to the rail belt, since that's where the bulk of the population is. The committee asked me to undertake a survey of senators, and we looked to them for advice before we drafted the committee substitute. The responses we got were 10 to 1 in favor of one consolidated time zone based on Yukon time in preference to the entire state being in Alaska time. Mr. President, one thing I might mention is the amendment I proposed that we adopted before was designed to rename Yukon Standard Time to Alaska Standard Time. There's really no one else, there's no one in Canada who uses Yukon Standard Time. In effect, it would disappear, and then Alaska Standard Time would become the time zone for Alaska. That can be done by Congress. We've been in touch with Senator Stevens' office, and I'm sure we'll have their cooperation if we enact this resolution.
Senator Ray?
President, some question as to the title. Under the new rules, you aren't allowed to change titles in the House, in the second House, and I don't believe that this requires a title change. I think that the first resolve does what we want. that's the basic. In other words, to revise the standard time zones. And the second resolve, just to ask the United States government to designate the name of this single time zone. So the actual workings of it is in the first resolve, so it doesn't require title change, in my belief.
We will so hold. You have the floor, Senator.
Mr. President, I'd like to also, with the Honorable Senator from Delta Junction, oppose this resolution. I recall reading about the reaction here in Juneau when there was a time change, and I think that's indicative of what's going to happen if this thing were to go through. I don't think most people understand what we're doing here, or even are particularly aware of it. There are some number of problems that it's going to result in for just the average person, particularly in those that live in the Panhandle and in Central Alaska. You've got a situation now where many small children go to school for a brief portion of the winter in total darkness. What this is going to do is extend that period of time substantially. And that is also the period of time when there's a great deal of commuter traffic, and I think it's going to represent a hazard to those children. The time zones that we presently have are not artificial. I think they're quite natural. They deal with the rising of the sun and the setting of the sun, and the way that the hours of the day have been for many hundreds of years. There seems to be a little tunnel vision on this. As legislators dealing with our constituents and with the people we hear from being the ones who have a problem getting through to us, I think we forget that probably 95% of the people don't have a problem with this with the situation as it presently exists. It seems to me this is a classic case of the tail wagging the dog, and I think we're going to regret it if it goes through. Thank you.
Under rank.
President, I think I should clarify the previous objection to Juneau to the time change. At that time, it was proposed that Juneau go on to Yukon time, and I would put Juneau in a time zone exclusively with Yakutat and the Sandwich Islands, or Fiji or someplace. And that was the reason that we opposed it. That would take us away 1 hour from Ketchikan, 1 hour from Sitka, et cetera. And at that time, we violently opposed it. And there has been no evidence, at least to my knowledge, any preponderance of objection to the time change now.
Ready for the question? Question before the Senate. The question is, shall committee substitute for House Joint Resolution 25 pass the Senate? You may proceed to vote. Have all members voted? Does any member wish to change their vote? Secretary, close the roll.
The roll shows 13 yeas, 6 nays, and 1 excused.
House Joint Resolution 25, as amended, has passed the Senate. Takes us down to unfinished business. Under it's a citation calendar. Secretary, read the citation calendar.
Citation honoring Paul Lincoln by Representative Fuller and Senator Ferguson. Citation honoring the Ketchikan High School students by Representatives Wanny, McBride, and Senator Ziegler.
Senator Perenkamp.
Mr. President, in the citation honoring the Ketchikan High School students, I notice a word there that takes its root from the Greek. It's sophomore, sophos meaning wise, moros meaning foolish. And I don't know whether we're both wise and foolish in the spelling of the third word in the second paragraph.
Provide correction. Both bills have been read. Senator Ray.
If there are no other corrections, I would move that citation calendar be adopted as read.
Without objection, citation calendar has been adopted. Under unfinished business, it should state, and would the Secretary please note that I appoint a conference committee on House Bill 166, and that was, again, Ray Mulcahy and Fakes. House Bill 166. Senator Ray?
Mr. President, as long as you've brought that topic up, the conference committee on House Bill 166 will be meeting today at 2:15 p.m. in the House State Affairs Committee room. That's 102 Capitol Building, I guess.
under announcements. You have the floor, Senator. Unfinished business. You have the floor, Senator.
Move and ask unanimous consent that be called, excused from the call of the chair tomorrow to attend a research field trip.
You are excused. Without objection, Senator Sackett.
President, I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent on the same motion.
Objection, so ordered. Senator Paul Fisher.
Yes, Mr. President, I'd like to ask for unanimous consent to be excused from the call of the House on Thursday, March the 31st.
Objection, so ordered. Senator Farenkamp.
Mr. President, there was a sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 112 that was referred to another committee. Resources Committee has the original Senate Bill 112. I'd like to request a resource referral of the sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 112.
Yes, that was an error. Senator.
Move and ask unanimous consent that sponsor substitute for 112 be waived from the Community and Regional Committee and transferred to the Resources Committee.
Resources Committee will have the first committee of reference. I wasn't watching the sponsor substitute. It was appropriate to both committees at the time. Are there further unfinished business? Announcement of committee meetings this morning. Senator Fisher.
State Affairs will be meeting at 3 o'clock today in Butrovich. We have a series of bills. Senate Bill 4, Repeal Beverage Dispensary License Bond, 132, Alaska Administrative Journal, 137, Requiring Public Employees to Comply with the Regulation of Lobbying Act, 190, Appropriation for Wrangell Totem Poles, 194, Ice Classics, HB 79, Repealing Peremptory Disqualification of Judges. Tomorrow at 1:30 p.m., State Affairs will meet in the Belts Room to take up any of the bills left over from today, as well as SCR 13, Senior Citizen Housing Wasilla, SJR 13, Repeal of the Jones Act. There'll be no State Affairs meeting on Thursday. On Friday, April 1st, there'll be a State Affairs hearing in Anchorage. It'll be on Senate Bill 166, the Alaska Athletic Commission, Regulation of Combative Sports. The hearing will be 1:30 to 3 at LAO in Anchorage.
Finance Chairman.
The Senate Finance Committee will continue on tomorrow morning at 8:30 with the calendar that was for today. And we'll continue on committee substitute Senate Bill 18, Capital Projects for Education. Also, time permitting, we'll take up Senate Bill 149, Permanent Fund Dividend, House Bill 108, Physicians Exemptions. Also, the previous announced calendar for tomorrow, which was SCR 10, Festival Fairbanks, SB 7, Trails, and SB 51, Island State Park.
Further announcement of committee meetings. You have the floor, Mr. Chairman.
Community and Regional Affairs will postpone the meeting from 3 o'clock to 3:30 p.m. today in the Belts Room. The bills are posted.
Senator Lyason.
President, the Labor and Commerce meet at 1 o'clock in the Belts Room. And we have House Bill 15, Relations to Commercial Fishing Loans. Senate Bill 66 relating to insurance. And at 1:30, we're having a sunset review of teleconference last
Senator Rohde.
Mr. President, the Minority Caucus immediately following today's session in the Butrovich Room.
Resources Chairman, Chairperson.
Mr. President, there will be a joint Oil and Gas Resources Committee meeting at 4 p.m. in House Finance today. Oh, and Mr. President, on Monday, April 4th, right after the session or 3 o'clock, whichever it happens to be, Resources Committee will be meeting in the Belts Room. We'll take up committee substitute for House CR 15. That's establishing joint House and Senate Committee on Gas and Oil.
Further announcement committee meetings. There are items under special orders. Senator Ray.
No other business come before the Senate. I move we adjourn to 10 a.m. Wednesday, March 30th.
Senate is adjourned.